We usually turn to Harold McGee, author of Keys to Good Cooking, when we have questions about food and science. Now, this is the man experts go to when they're in a quandary. But when I learned that Harold recently made his very first trip to China, I wanted to hear about that experience firsthand. Harold, it's good to have you back with us.
Wonderful to be back, Lynn. Thank you.
So, how was China?
Oh, man. It was eye-opening, mind-opening, palate-opening. So many new experiences of all kinds. I mean, I'm past 60, and going someplace and just feeling as if you've never experienced anything like this before in your life is rare at my age, and that's exactly how I felt.
Food is a really, it's a profoundly different experience there. I'm not just thinking taste, but from what I understand, it's so deeply embedded in the culture and the mentality in ways that we don't really understand, or at least we don't practice.
Yeah, and so the experiences you have in restaurants and people's homes and so on, my feeling was I was only getting 10 or 15% of what was actually going on. I was very lucky to be there when Fuchsia Dunlop was there. And Fuchsia is the English-speaking world's expert these days on food in China. And in fact, one fascinating experience was that I went to a renowned Shanghai restaurant one week with one set of hosts, right, and then the following week with Fuchsia, who had heard my discussion of what I'd experienced the week before and thought that I'd missed out on what that particular restaurant was all about. And so she insisted on taking me back. And it was the same menu that she chose from, but right, the meal was completely different and tremendously various.
What were some of the things that you were eating?
Oh, for example, vegetables that I've never had before, bamboo pith fungus, and stalk lettuce, celtus, a variety of lettuce that's grown not for the leaves but for the stalks, and a cod head, a fish head that was cooked just for us by one cook standing there and pouring hot oil over it repeatedly.
Oh, my.
I mean, you can imagine how labor-intensive that is, and they do it to order for whoever orders that particular dish. And it's an amazing, it's like a deep fat frying version of rotisserie cooking. The end result was just amazing.
Now, you wrote an article on rice wine. Can you tell me about it?
Yes, yes. So I wrote this article because when I was in China, I kept having this experience of deliciousness of a certain kind and would keep asking, you know, what's in this? What makes this so wonderful? And frequently the answer was rice wine, Laozao, which it turned out, I learned from Fuchsia, is something that's very easy to make at home. Even in the United States, if you live anywhere that has an Asian market nearby, because it's just standard part of the pantry for Chinese cooks. And so when I got back, I searched the many Chinese markets that we have here in San Francisco and found that most of them, in fact, did carry these. They look like little inch diameter white ping pong balls. And it turns out that all you have to do is cook up some rice, glutinous rice or sweet rice or sticky rice is the best. And then you take one of these white balls and you grind it up into a powder and mix it with the cooked rice and keep it in a warm place like an oven with the pilot light on. And in a few days, the rice grains liquefy and you end up with rice wine. Huh. Presto changeo. Delicious.
Okay, so what's in those little white balls? That seems to be the real key.
Yes, and the key is a complex mixture of microbes, funguses, bacteria, and yeasts, dried out and embedded in a ball of rice flour. And you know, when you make bread or something like that, of course you buy a package of yeast, and the yeasts start growing when you add mm-hmm. water to them, and they make bubbles and flavor and that kind of thing. It's that basic idea, except that in the case of making rice wine, you have to include microbes that can do one more additional thing before the yeasts can get going. The yeasts can only live on sugars, and rice grains are made up mostly of starch. And starch is essentially long strings of sugar molecules, but the yeasts are not capable of metabolizing starch. So you grind up the white balls, which are dry, and when they're in contact with the moist, wet, warm rice grains, freshly cooked, then they revive and they start metabolizing again. The molds break down the starch into sugars, and then the yeasts and the bacteria turn the sugars into alcohol and to the lactic acids that you also find in the things like yogurt, and that give the wonderful tartness that balances the sweetness.
So to get these white balls, what do you ask for?
Well, that's actually the biggest challenge of this whole dish, is to find the white balls in the first place. And what I did was cruise the aisles in my local Chinese grocery until I found something that answered the description that Fuchsia had given me. When I didn't find them, I asked someone, and I tried to describe what they're for, and finally, after four or five explanations, I was led to the right spot. So that may be a bit of a challenge to find them. They're called things that they aren't, like rice cakes and yeast balls and things like that. So you'll have to do a little exploring.
Harold, this sounds so delicious. Thank you.
Pleasure, Lynn. Thank you.
Food scientist Harold McGee's article on making rice wine appeared in the fall 2012 issue of Lucky Peach magazine. Now find Harold's recipe for fresh rice wine on the website, splendidtable.org. Now I've got a dish to match that rice wine. Five-flavor China noodles will pick up all the fruitiness and open up the wine beautifully. So what's this five-flavor business? Well, you stir-fry a sauce of ground pork, hoisin sauce, water, chestnuts, chili paste, and rice wine, and you toss that with noodles and you serve it hot. But at the table is where the fun starts. You have the five flavors: raw radishes, scallions, cucumbers, bean sprouts, and garlic. You season the noodles with all the crunch and plays of flavors that you'd like, and no two bites have to be the same. So find Harold McGee's recipe for fresh rice wine and mine for five-flavored China noodles on the website, splendidtable.org.